Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It's 3:19, and it is 2020, as in the 2020 principle, you know? And if you add 20 and 20, you get 40, and that's like a 40 cal, you know? 40 cal, anyway. Now, I would be remiss if I just don't read this again. I'm going to read it from the Luke 21. Because I'm going to emphasize that aspect of it, what the Lord Jesus has to say. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience, possess ye your souls. So you see, if we then go down here to about verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your salvation, for your redemption, draweth nigh. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, they're getting ready to grab you and put you up for this and that and the other, you see. Now, all I can tell you is this. We're looking at what's going on. We can talk about all of the stuff. I heard today, and I listened very well, to President Trump when he was at the FEMA thing. All right? I listened earlier when they were at the other press conference and all of that. But at the FEMA deal, the first governor was the governor of Georgia. And it was a laudatory, you know, a type of a call to, you know, brown nose a little bit with President Trump and all that. But he says, the Georgia governor says to President Trump, he says, let me give you a tip, Mr. President. He said, what's that? And he says, the Georgia governor says, when it comes to the National Guard, you ought to just leave that up to the governors and let them decide what they're going to do with them, rather than y'all bringing them in, all right? And President Trump said, I agree with that. You know, that's done. Yeah, I agree with you. Now, fact of the matter is, the National Guard's already activated and deployed in a lot of places. And in Ohio, they're being seen. In North Carolina, they're being seen. In New York, they're being seen. And then what I understand from New York is that all of them have been called up, and they're in their spots. Now, certain states, Pennsylvania, not all guard are called up. Texas, the state guard are called up, or a number of them are. there's a lot of different guards being called up all over, and then what is happening, like in Ohio, or excuse me, you know, New York, is they're called up. Most of them, or a lot of them, have already had the test to see if they have the COVID-19. Jade Helm, COVID-19, Jade Helm, hut. Jade Helm, COVID-19, hut. What kind of shirts do they wear in New York? Hut. Remember how when old Judge Pape down there in Texas brought old Listerine Listori in there and Linguini or whatever his name was, and they said, oh, we know what kind of shirts people wear in North Carolina, but we don't know what kind of shirts they wear in Texas. Now they're looking at New York. So in certain respects, you would hope and you would want if it was all above board that you would have the usage of the National Guard, and they're pretty much doing good stuff. Now, in Ohio, I think I told you the other night, maybe I didn't. I told a few people, but anyway, I'll just repeat it in case I didn't tell it on air. In Ohio, the other night, there was, let's say, in the metro area of Cincinnati somewhere, which didn't appear really in the news or TV or too much, or if it was abbreviated and not understood as items that were connected. The fact is that apparently some gangbanger, gangster of some sort, stole a pickup truck and they rammed right up into some furniture store, plate glass window and the big front doors at, you know, whatever speed they could muster up, and then the truck caught on fire, allegedly, and all this kind of stuff, but they jumped out before they let it go, all right? At the same time, apparently, there was a call-in across town somewhere talking about a call-in on a 911 call about a large apartment building or large structure fire, you know, number of stories high, with people involved in the structure, okay? Well, all the fire department went to that, police went to that, and then they have the thing at the furniture store. And meanwhile, back at the parking lot of the Dollar General, I believe, or Dollar Tree, I think Dollar General, they were getting a shipment on a tractor trailer of bottled water, toilet paper, rice and beans, chunky soup, all of the different items that Purell, Clorox bleach, whatever, all of the things that have been selling out all over the United States, food and cleaning product items and the toilet paper, etc. So they are doing that, and at that same time, the resupply truck comes in, and then bingo. The gangsters jump on the truck, put the .45 in the guy's ear and drag him out of the truck, pop him on the head and, you know, put him out somewhere and put him to the side. They took off with the entire truck full of all those supplies. Now, I guess the governor of Ohio, on the QT or maybe, on the upfront, said yesterday that he wants the guard to National Guard to be deployed to guard the supply trucks and the food warehouses and all of that. Now, if you go back to the Gang Peace Summit that I've talked to you about several times in the air in the almost 16 years I've been on, and thank Lord Jesus for bringing me on and for also for providing me with wonderful people who will help to keep me on the air, to strike blows against the Lord Jesus' enemies, and to warn the remnant of what's to come and how to prepare for it, perhaps. But anyway, the Gang Peace Summit of the 90s, they brought in all the street gangs from all over the country with certain people and also with certain feds who came in, certain federal agentur officially. And they came in and basically they had all their, you know, meetings and all the stuff of the different gangs, the Crips, the Bloods, the Gangster Disciples, the this one, the that one, the other one, okay? And then they had the leaders have said, or had meetings either individually or in a small group with the federal agents, all right? Those are the intel community, okay? And what they said is, we're going to pay you money if you keep the drive-by shootings down to a dull roar. So where the every night on the TV screen, we're not seeing the AK-47 and shotgun blasts out of cars in a neighborhood in Compton or this one killing the other one and all of that. You can still kill each other, but just do it at a dull roar so it doesn't make the nightly news every night. And we'll give you money. And then, allegedly, then they said, and in the future, we will use you and bring you out. We'll bring you out and let you go ahead and do what it is you do best in the midst of something. All right? Just to let you know, and then that is your reward for doing that. And what they'll do, you see, and I always said, is they're going to run the gangs, the street gangs, at the middle class and the rich people. Primarily, they'll run them at the rich people and then also the upper middle class. And what they're going to do is, at that point, you will see everybody in the cities or in the towns or in the governors, of course, and the representatives and legislators, they're going to beg them to bring in federal troops. They're going to bring them to bring in the U.S. Army, the Marine Corps, a la Jade Helm, the Air Forces. They're bringing the reserves, the National Guard, and the regular military, which is already ready under NORTHCOM. So consequently, we have this scenario, I believe, starting to play out. Now, I also heard that in Ohio already, and then many police departments are being told not to really do anything or to stop petty crime, okay? They're being told not to stop petty crime or to do anything about it, you know, up to a certain thing. If there's a violent crime or a death, you got to go investigate it and respond to it. But if you've got a scenario where you've got a basic robbery or something like that, they're not going and looking at it. Not doing anything about it, you see. So consequently, what is happening is that you're seeing some gangbangers and other crooks and criminals start to really get with it. And what they're doing is they're now apparently in some parts of Ohio, they're hanging out in the parking lots in cars and stuff and watching, and they're also watching when the old people come out, all right? Or anybody, or, a mother and her children or whatever, somebody who they feel is an easier mark. And what they're doing is they're then bopping them on the side of the head and grabbing all their groceries and throwing them in their truck or their car and then taking off on the quick. And, of course, they're wearing sunglasses and masks and stuff, too, to protect their identities, you see, on the videos. And it's all happening so quickly that it's kind of interesting. So I'm going to tell you, if you have the ability to conceal carry or open carry in your state, then I would suggest you do so. In some states, I believe, Vermont, Kansas, Missouri, you can conceal carry in your state without any documentation, without any card, without any course. You can conceal carry. Many of them you can open carry as well. In a holster, on your side, whatever. Now, I wouldn't say you go to the grocery store necessarily that way, but I would sure have one somewhere in my jacket pocket or somewhere that I had at the ready. And it's better to be judged by 12 than it is to carried by 6, you see. wanted to say this. I've got a couple thoughts here as well. You're seeing this deployment of Texas Guard in the HEB stores down in Texas. And they all seem to be around food in the food line. They got security in the food line up around Lenoir, North Carolina, apparently. And they're telling people you can only take one or two items, you know, per the shelf display side. And even if you got a family of four or six, you ain't going to be able to get enough of the soups or enough of the beans to probably put together a pot for everybody. And toilet paper is still missing. A lot of people laugh about toilet paper, but I'm going to tell you what. Go take a look and see how much you got. And then think 18 months, okay? Or think 3 years or 3.5 years of tribulation. 3.5 years of great tribulation. Have you got enough? So now people instinctively are looking at that. There are other ways of doing it. You better believe it. You can get a hose, you know, a bidet. You know, there's a lot of different things you can do. You can go outside and dig a cat hole in the back of the yard somewhere and hide it in there. You can use the baby wipes, and instead of flushing them, and all these people are flushing Clorox wipes and baby wipes and all this down toilets, and now the plumbing is plugging up. Now, let me just give you some other dots and things I'm hearing and what have you. And the old scholar Temecula reminds me, have you noticed how much time Fox has been giving to Governor Cuomo? Yes. Now, let's go back to the Pennsylvania Guard not being called up and deployed yet, but that the Guard in New York, and I believe probably New Jersey and Connecticut, has been, or is at least on call at the bases, and some are being used, all right, and in other states as well. But Governor Cuomo is bucking if he already hasn't been promised. You notice how complimentary he is now and all of that. Gavin Newsom, complimentary. You know, you have 10 FEMA regions, right? And what was it I've read to you now about 17 times and told you about? Obama's January 11th, 2010 executive order, establishment of the Council of Governors. There is established a Council of Governors. The Council shall consist of 10 state governors appointed by the President, who will report to the Secretary of Defense. Military governor position is what he's going to be, you see. Military governor position, all right? And that is one of the things that's going on. So then the FBI is apparently getting so many requests for background checks on the Second Amendment, on buying guns, they're talking about they might stop approving the gun purchases. So if you do not have one, you better buy one pronto quick. And I would look in talking to Uncle Joe or Grandpa Larry or Grandma, one of the cigarette smoking, cool cigarette smoking grandmas or the, Camel cigarette types, you know, the grandmas who shoot the perp, you know, and tell them that they use their trusty six shooter or whatever they had. They're now also, along with the gangs, they're turning low-level, quote-unquote, prisoners out of prisons and jails in a number of different states. So consequently, that's going to add fuel to the gang being allowed to go out and feed on you and do brigandage. Because the whole idea now, yes, the governors have declared a state's emergency. President Trump has declared states of emergency. NORTHCOM has been ready since January, all right? They've been ready since January. So consequently, okay, here's the one I want right here. Having a little trouble with the old internet today a little bit. U.S. military has given continuity of government standby orders for COVID-19 pandemic for the first time in the modern history. The Department of Defense has been given standby orders to ensure the continuity of government in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. These extraordinary measures, which include evacuating White House officials to remote quarantine locations and devolving the nation's leadership to second-tier officials, were originally meant for the aftermath of a nuclear war. However, according to Newsweek, above top-secret contingency plans are now in place in case the nation's constitutional power successors are incapacitated by the pandemic. Standby orders, which have been issued for a series of plans under North American, U.S. North American Command, NORTHCOM, which was created in response to the 9/11 attacks as a Homeland Defense military authority. These operations are codenamed Octagon, Free Jack, Zodiac, said Newsweek, include Con Plan 3400. Homeland defense of the U.S. itself is the battlefield. Well, you will be declared that because you'll be declared if you refuse to go and get your mandatory vaccination and to get on the truck, then you will be called an insurgent, okay? And also, Con Plan 3500, defending civil authorities in an emergency. You remember we talked about NORTHCOM's orders to the Marines, the Navy, the Army, everybody, Air Force, their orders were in support of the local community, law enforcement, and officials, right? In event that there's community spread of the disease. Remember? Talked about the buzzwords. And Newsweek added, Con Plan 3600, defending the National Capital Region from attack. Newsweek added that Defense Secretary Mark T. Esper has authorized NORTHCOM to prepare to deploy in support of these potential extraordinary missions. These include the possibility of some form of martial law, M-A-R-T-I-A-L, martial, as in martial law, where military commanders would be given executive powers across the U.S. until new civilian leadership would emerge, or perhaps new civilian leadership doesn't emerge, and perhaps then you have a junta running the whole deal. An added complication to these plans is that the military itself is vulnerable to the coronavirus pandemic. That's why they basically put unprecedented restrictions to stay on base, you see. So anyway, I'm just trying to tell you what I've told you basically since the end of January, haven't I? Told you that since then. Now, we've also talked about the Russian Spetsnaz and all of that and the overture, right? Talked about the overture, haven't we? We talked about the bank holidays, haven't we? We talked about all of that. Well, now there's a coronavirus crisis at the UK's nuclear submarine base in the United Kingdom. And I just remember right here, Mr. K, let's call him Special K. How about that? Special K, Jerome. Special K from near San Diego. Terrorist act carried out by the course of the overture required very few people, very few weapons, and little equipment in some cases. All that may be needed is one man who has a weapon, nothing more than a screwdriver, a box of matches, or a glass ampule. Some of the operations can have catastrophic consequences. For an example, an epidemic of an infectious disease at 7 of the most important naval bases in the West could have the effect of cutting in half the combined naval might of the enemies of Soviet Union or Russia. All right? Now, I still tell you that in my opinion, and everybody knows if you're on this show, I'm not a red Chinese agent or a Russian agent, because I'll tell you what, I work for the Lord Jesus, all right? But what I'm trying to say is, when we know Albert Pike's letter to Giuseppe Mazzini and all of that, Third World War, and we know about Ezekiel 38:39, and the land of the unwalled villages, we know that the Luciferians want a blood sacrifice to Lucifer and to kill off about 80 to 90% of the people on the planet. And Lord Jesus himself has told you that if the time were not short for the elect, there would no flesh be saved. What's the prescription for Matthew 24 is Matthew 25.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Huck coming to you live again. We got knocked off the Skype and off the internet. I guess we're telling the truth, all right? And I guess they didn't like them code words being mentioned, you know? Well, Newsweek mentioned those, so I just wondered what Newsweek had to say. Now, the other thing, I'm just going to go right to it. They're going to knock you off the air. I'm going to tell you what. Don't expect your cell phones to work in the near future. Let me tell you what else I also know. I wasn't going to really mention this. Now I'm going to. All right? The Department of Human Sacrifice, okay, which is run by an associate or assistant Wolf. But the Department of the whole Human Sacrifice has got, apparently, going through the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, you know, which doesn't have the money to do all this, but they've set up their own little spy network with disaster-type radio people who have experience at it, but not all hands. We're not talking about the good guys who over the years on their own accord would participate in all the events and at their own free will step forth to assist the government in the past in an emergency scenario. But we're talking about something that's you get the secret code words and the secret ID cards, and the secret word will get you the bird. It only ain't going to get you this bird, okay? And it ain't going to get you no quail bird neither, all right? Because we work for Lord Jesus, so don't even come. Because I'll tell you what, here's the deal. They already got this whole deal, and they can also then see who's getting on the line, who's on it, all the different things, okay? What they're doing, I don't know what the payoff is necessarily, but I think they're going to give them special equipment and special software and set their radios up in a real nice way, if you know what I mean. Now, this is not going to necessarily be the regular hams are going to give information anyway, because these guys are not going to use the standard repeaters. They're using some other sneaky stuff, all right? So I'm telling you, that's being set up. I'll also tell you this, is that all of the ID cards in a number of different states in the last week or two were being made out, new IDs with the new picture, the new secret code number, your challenge code, your this code, your that code, all the different stuff. And those have been provided to various people in the Red Cross, not all law enforcement, because they don't want to tell all law enforcement, because a lot of law enforcement is extremely patriotic and not necessarily going to go along with the suits. A lot of good police and deputies and sheriffs themselves and even some police chiefs themselves are not going to go along with the martial law and all the stuff and the grain and the people. But there's some that will. So I'm going to talk to you about the ones that get a double paycheck, okay? There are people in police departments and deputies, certain ones, that not only get their regular pay, and they're usually not the top slots. They're not the low slots, although they could be, but they're usually somewhere in the middle, you know. Maybe somebody's a sergeant, maybe not. But they've been around for a while, usually, and they're designed to be the political officers, and they're getting a double lug of money from the feds and have been. I've known some of them back in the 90s that were getting it. Some that were in and around Columbia, Missouri, and in and around Knobnaster in that area over there by the old, one of the last missile bases in Missouri. Where the B-2s fly out of. But they were not there to spy on the Ruski or the Red Chinese or anybody like that, or even the British SAS, who just happened to be in that area, also protecting that base at one point. But what they were doing is they're spying on the chief of police. They're spying on the patriotic deputies. They're spying on the head high sheriff. They're spying on the patrolman over here and the patrolman over there who've got their own fishing camp and have got a stock full of stuff. And when the time comes, they're taking their families. They're going to go out into the woods. All right? They're not going to participate in the killing of their people in their own town. All right? Well, now, why would that all happen? You say, Hawk, it all looks so... They're just trying to make sure nobody dies. The old people like you, Hawk, don't die of this virus. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Well, tell me about the specialized building in outside of Oakland, California, where a lot of people are going into and they ain't coming back out. Tell me about the H-E-B stores in Texas, the ones that are closed, or the old Walmarts in Texas and places that are closed. You remember a few years ago they were building all them up. Well, how did they know to build them all up? Well, maybe they saw the movie Contagion in 2010. Contagion with Matt Damon and Gwyneth Paltrow and Lawrence Fishburne and others. Because I watched that last night in the old Dark 30. And guess what the key buzzwords and phrases of that were? Social distancing, novel virus, a weird combination novel virus that seemed to mutate. They need to speed up FDA approvals for vaccines. And finally in that movie, in Contagion in the year 2010, which I think you can get on the Waybacks, the different stuff out of HBO or Cinemax or Showtime, whatever it was. It was a movie that's on there. And Spectrum, if you have Spectrum, those people have it up there. For I think $3.99 it was. It was a half-price deal. But anyway, Contagion used all of the buzzwords that are on the TV every day now. And finally, a woman who was doing the research with the rhesus monkeys, where they had one monkey left alive, okay? And he was looking at through the cage. She took his needle, his vial, put the needle in and jabbed herself with it. And then she went to go see her father, who was a heroic doctor, took her mask off, kissed him on the forehead while he was laying dying in a hospital room of whatever their virus was called. And guess what their virus was made out of? 2010, right? That means they made it in 2009, the movie. Right after that, 2008, when the Red Chinese were over here playing around in the caves down there in the Cumberland Gap and in Moran, all throughout Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. And then all of a sudden, the bats started dying. A weird, new, white nose syndrome, a new type of SARS. Well, in the movie, you eventually see, you know, that it's got bat component, like a bat SARS type component and a swine type component. And isn't that interesting? And how they interlocked and all this stuff. And then also in the movie, it's going along and about, it's replicating itself, you know, doubling, all right? And then the kill ratio is not as high. But you do kill, and then if you get one touch and you catch it, easy to catch, right? Well, then there's also another point in that movie where it goes through a group of gay people somewhere or another in like a community. And after that, all of a sudden, it even becomes more rampant, and then the kill ratio goes up to 30%. Oh, did they graft or somehow get a recombination of the HIV virus onto the bat stuff and the swine stuff, you see? So if you want to look at that, you can also look at Jeremiah. And I would also tell you to look at Jericho. And at 1 second after, William R. Forstian. And I would also tell you to look at Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse, and other real good books of ever people have done. But I would tell you that those I know are going to give you some clues and tips of what you got to do, but you better start to read them and looking at them real quick. I don't know, and I thought that as of even this morning that everything was locked and loaded for by the 23rd. I told you the possibility, there was a high possibility and the probability, and at the time I said, I believe last week I said 60-40 in my book. Not guaranteed, but as a high possibility, 60-40 probability that they would have like a full-blown martial law by the 23rd of March. Well, a lot of people are calling the military governor of New York, the tri-state area, Cuomo. That's what he's bucking for, people. That's why they're giving him so much news on Fox. There's Fox's headquarters in New York City, of course, like a lot of them are. But here's the deal. That, you see, is what is being planned in and of in the background, and already those op names I gave you that Newsweek put out, that is real deal stuff, and I've been telling you from the very beginning that it's Northtown. And what I told you about the State Guard being a canary in the coal mine. And now they're called out in Texas State Guard. And I also told you about the H-E-B stores, and now they're starting to guard them. And if you've seen also down in certain parts of Texas, you see the military command post towers being put up on the scissor lift, okay, with the red and blue lights. And up there, they got the guys with the guns and watching the parking lots. Do you remember we've talked about in the past how some of the Walmart parking lots, even 5 years ago, they were putting up towers in the back of the parking lots, weren't they? Some even in small rural counties in Indiana, remember that? In Ohio, remember that? Little Dickie Jones of counties, I believe, was one of the counties. Sheriff Richard Jones, okay? Little Dickie, I used to call him back then. So, ladies and gentlemen, this thing is poised and ready to go. Now, I saw a brief little bit of hope today. When during that thing, when the Georgia governor said, President Trump, let me give you a little tip. And he said, what's that? He said, let the governors call up the National Guard, y'all don't handle that. Because you see, if they do, and President Trump is made to bring them out, and to bring out NORTHCOM, okay, then it will then go to civil war. See, the Georgia governor is either saying, hey, let's not do it because we don't want to do that, all right? Or he's saying, we better not do that right now, let the governors do it, and then a little bit further down the road, we'll get on with that, all right? So I don't know how he's saying it, but President Trump said, I agree with you, let's not, and that's a done deal where we're not going to do that. But really, like, not to do that. So in that sense, I think President Trump is not trying to declare the full-blown martial law. And would have liked to work it out through the governors, et cetera. However, when you release the criminals from jail and prison, when you let all the illegals in that you could let in before, all right, when you let in all the cartel boys and you got all the gangbangers and street gangs, and now the governors of the states are telling the police in the big cities and stuff, if it ain't a shooting or a big major crime, then do not even respond. Just take the information, write it down, and tell them to, you know, be careful, you know. Watch out for them, you know. They ain't going to go look. The speeding tickets and stuff, that's all slowed down to a dull roar, too, because most places in a lot of the cities, you see the police are, rightfully so, sitting in the parking lot talking to each other saying, what the heck is getting ready to happen, man? You see? And most police are good guys and will not go along or want to go along with it. But then a large number of others will, and particularly the ones that are getting the double dip. Who are being paid to be those who inform upon the other officers, okay? To the feds. Same way with this new radio group with the top secret, you know, decoder rings and all of that stuff, you see. Little orphan Annie decoder rings and things, all right? So consequently, they're there to police and report on other people and other officials. And the police and the hams and all the people in their communities and get secret Gestapo-type information up to the DHS. Or FBI or whatever, but it's going up to DHS. So there is a definite group in this country that wants to take this country into full-blown martial law and to grind this country down. All right, and then to hang all of this as an albatross around Trump's neck, bring in if they want to, they don't even necessarily have to, but they can then bring in the Joe Biden and Lucy Goosey six-finger, six-toed Michelle Obama, all right? And then that would free up old Obama himself, the Joker tech, to go be maybe the head of the United Nations. Wouldn't that be just lovely? And I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I can tell you some of the plans they talked about. And then if it all goes south and there gets to be quite a bit of kickback, then obviously as the gangs start to attack the convoys of the food trucks, so they can't get the food, so the old people can't go in early in the morning and get their food first, you know. Or people start getting knocked in the head. And it's all in the movie Contagion, by the way. And in that movie Contagion, over 25 million people are dead at a certain point in time, okay, in that movie. The two seasons of Jeremiah on Showtime back in the day, in the early 2000s, that basically killed everybody over 35 or something, that disease, the older people, right? Ladies and gentlemen, you want to keep old Hawk on the air, and I hope you do. You want me to keep stringing, you know, the old ball bat, the old Louisville Slugger at the shins and at the head and elbows and teeth of Lucifer himself and his minions? And I hope you do. And God bless all that do, and may the Lord Jesus return it to you 10,000-fold. Anything, got a reserve note, medals, check money, or send it to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And then I will tell you, Brother Steve Quayle has told you for years to go get the gold and the silver. But you see, the gold and the silver in the spot price listed on the paper world is too low. Like, if you got silver showing up at like $12 or something, Steve was telling me the other night that the only place that you can get anybody to sell you any of it anyway, it's $20 an ounce for the real deal. The gold price for the real deal, if you can find anybody who will sell it to you anyway, all right, is going to be much higher. A lot of people are going to take the money and say, oh, the delivery is 3-4 weeks out. Now, Steve is doing everything he can do to make sure that he gets delivery, and he's got certain sources that he can get stuff where he's got it in locker stock, you know, kind of allocated to him, that he's going to try to make sure he gets his people their gold or their silver. But the time for that's almost all over. I would tell you that what you may want is the information that Brother Quayle has provided to you in this Cascadia DVD. You can watch it immediately on the Vimeo, or you can wait for the DVDs to come out. I would tell you you might want to watch it, particularly if you live in, you know, California, Oregon, Washington State, and British Columbia, all right? And then if you live in the adjacent states, you know, as the coastline comes in and twists and turns in, Seattle goes into a liquefaction quake and the big humps come up, and then the Mount Adams and Rainier and St. Helens and a few others start to blow, Shasta maybe. And then that pops fault lines all up and down from the tip of Mexico all the way up through California and all the way up into Vancouver. It's amazing what comes in here. It's just kind of weird in terms of the emails. In the middle of this, never mind, I'm not even going to tell you what was sent in the middle of this. It's just kind of ridiculous. Now, we also have a coronavirus infecting a 2-year-old in Ohio, all right? So this thing is changing, and it's not going to be safe for the kiddos, all right? Not going to necessarily be safe for the kids, all right? And I will tell you this. You need to not panic. You need to not even panic. But what you need to do is to be very alert. And remember I told you to methodically prepare using your lists and adjusting your priorities of acquisition based on real-time information that you update on a weekly, daily, or hourly basis. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's still a possibility. I think President Trump, by going to FEMA and putting FEMA in charge, and people say, well, that's better. It maybe is in a sense, although FEMA, if they're in charge of the continuity of government and of the emergency and disaster plans and the distribution of food and all of that, which what we want them to do is do the good stuff, but they also are able, as the directors of the emergency, the management, emergency management, right? FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Authority, right? So if they're going to have that, then they will have the ability to call on, at the president's behest, of course, they have to call on the troops of NORTHCOM and the National Guard and the reserves. So this could all be sitting there, and then we can have just a ducky kind of a thing, like was put into law, put into a presidential decision directive by George W. Bush, 12 October 2008. Domestic insurgency and the declaration of martial law. And that's M-A-R-T-I-A-L as in military, not as in federal marshals, okay? But I'll tell you what. They've got it all laid out in here. They're even talking about recreation, co-ops, and 4-H type groups, and all kind of groups, and they're analyzed everything. And here, let's say, an ideology. In its ideology, an insurgency sets forth a political alternative to the existing state. Both theoretically and actually, it offers a vision of a counter-state. The most powerful ideologies tap latent emotive concerns of the populace, such as the desire for justice, the creation of an idealized religious state, or liberation from foreign occupation, okay? Well, of course, like if you believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and you want to return to it, then that is considered by the U.S. Army and all of the federal military in the North Com, that is considered under this document, to be an insurgent ideology because it goes counter to the state that would be involved in a, let's say, oh, you don't believe they had other exercises now. What about Rex 84? Rex 84 was so highly guarded that special metal security doors were installed on the fifth floor of the FEMA building in Washington, D.C., securing the area in which the Rex Operational Center was centered. Well, that's the room that they were in today, ladies and gentlemen, although it improved a lot since then. The exercise required the following, Rex 84, suspension of the Constitution of the United States, turning control of the government over to FEMA, and appointment of military commanders to run state and local governments. That's codified by the Obama executive order, which is still in effect, as well as the other 500-plus executive orders and presidential decision directives that George W. Bush invoked after 9/11. And that have been improved on since then. And then the state of emergency has basically been in since 19. What's that Masonic number? 33. December 33. Right before Christmas, you see. Right before the time when we celebrate the birth of Lord Jesus in 1933, you know. They signed into law the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917. As amended 1933, a.k.a., otherwise known as, or also known as, the Emergency Powers Act. So I don't think President Trump wants to go the whole nine yards, but this thing is an albatross laid over his neck, let me tell you. And so this is not a normal time. And I would tell you to continue to prepare. And I would tell you to get some toilet paper as well, which can't find any. But I would also be getting things like protein powders. You can get them at the health food store or at the grocery store. Protein powders where you mix it with water or mix it with milk. And incidentally, well, I like to get my special milk. Well, get you some carnation powder milk. Take your water out of your Berkey water filter that's purified and got the, 99% of the chemicals taken out by the black Berkey filter and then with the silver impregnation and that. You also take out the protozoans, the other parasites, the bacteria, and the virus, and some of the radiation. Now, you remember Lord Jesus always talked about what he says in Matthew 24. All of these are the beginning of sorrows, okay? The beginning of sorrows. So you'd better step up, and you better keep preparing, and you better keep your eyes, you know, and you better not get caught watching the paint dry, as old Shooter would have said in Indiana in 1950, all right? Boy, don't get caught watching the paint dry, all right? This is for the real deal. I pray that the Lord would come in and assist guide President Trump and the powers that be to solve this thing, to get a bona fide, real, good therapeutic that will cure this disease, or that you can get a good, not a trickery vaccine that's going to be a chimera vaccine to kill a lot of people, or like the suck vaccine was, which it had simian virus 40 in it, which was a known carcinogen. And later on, Mary's monkey, Mary, the researcher, was the brilliant woman doctor researcher, was murdered, okay, to cover up all that crap. Then David Perry and Oswald and other, you know, people at the CIA and the EIEIOs were involved with, which also then transpired into the killing of Kennedy. So the fact is, you got retail hours of business changing, you got the banks not allowing you into the lobby, you're going to have to deal with the drive-up windows only or the ATMs. So don't go into their loose berry and knife without a fight. Mighty men and women of honor, stand up and use your high technology to strike a blow. Bendigo Rangers and old Mickey LaPoo, I know you're ready. Mickey, you stay on them. You stay on those optics and keep in touch with General McCormick.